Move on to much more important things. Venezuela. G'day, Helen Woolley. How are you?
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Helen, you have had a long term support relationship with Venezuela. Can you explain how Australian members of the group that you're part of have been supporting Venezuela?
Sure. I'm a member of the Venezuela Solidarity Campaign here in Melbourne. Personally, I've only been involved in the last 3 years that I've been in Melbourne, but the campaign has been running for 10 years or so. But we're primarily focused on raising awareness about what's happening in Venezuela, and we do a bit of fundraising for some rural communities in Venezuela through the Comuna movement. Which is, of course, it stands for communals, and they run their communities based on participatory democracy.
Yeah, yeah, it's really interesting because what's happening in Venezuela, if we were to believe any of the reports coming out of Murdoch Media and other sources, almost all sources, other than places like 3CR and your organisation, you would believe that Venezuelan government is the devil incarnate. And this is far from the truth, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Venezuela has, in the last 22 years, held 28 elections. In November, on the 21st, this will be their 29th election in 22 years. So, you know, if we talk about democracy and if we talk about elections representing democracy, then that country, Venezuela, has had its fair share of elections.
How is it faring at the moment? Now, I know that when you talk about elections, it's a much more complicated set of parameters than we have here. Their democracy is far more thorough, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They call it participatory democracy, so that means that it's from the grassroots level right to the top, there's an election process that takes place. To give an example, the recent elections... there's 5,000 people that need to be elected. Their mayors, their regional state councillors, I don't know the exact terms in Venezuela, but that's kind of who they represent. So candidates for local council, mayors, state regional presidents and so on. So 5,000 candidates need to be elected, and For these elections, there were 65,000 candidates just for the PSUV that wanted to be elected. So they had to go through a process of being officially elected by the people. They had to front up to their communities and put forward why they should be the candidates. And, eventually it's come down to a number of candidates that will be elected. But to think that if 65,000 people actually wanted to be elected, wanted to be representative of their communities.
What's the population of Venezuela? I'm sorry, I should know, but I don't.
Neither do I.
Oh, it's okay. It just gives us a comparison. I mean, you're right. It is a pretty staggering amount of people who are involving themselves in the political process. So, I mean, quite clearly, because in the past, before Chavez, the distribution of wealth was in a far more sort of straightforward hierarchical arrangement, wasn't it, where the general population were less well resourced than they should be.
I think it would be fair to say prior to Chavez, the elections were fairly similar to what we have here, representative democracy, and that means going to the elections every 4 years and electing somebody that we think is going to represent us and, ultimately doesn't really represent us at all.
Yeah, okay. I mean, so, I mean, just as a matter of interest, the Americans have been applying inordinate pressure, and over time, other parts of the international financial community and banking, etc., has made it incredibly difficult for the Venezuelan government to actually continue doing to govern. You know, in terms of inflation is very high. A whole range of things have been manipulated around the Venezuelan economy to try and oust this representative democracy, correct?
Correct, yeah. The sanctions, are, you know, they're really actually what we call economic coercive measures. And they these sanctions are harsh. They're extremely harsh. And because the United States controls the international finance world, it makes even financial transactions through the banking system, whether you use, no matter what system you use, it's got to go through the United States banking system. And so they can track every single finance transaction that's going on. And so it makes it particularly hard for countries like Venezuela that are fighting for independence, fighting for their own way of, independence and foreign and independent foreign policies and these participatory democracies to survive. It makes it very difficult for them to do trade. And, of course, that's what's happened with Alex Saab. He's had to go over to Iran. He is a diplomat, and he was on his way to Iran to secure food and medicine. Was kidnapped off a plane and has now been extradited to the United States and faces money laundering charges, which of course are trumped up charges and so on. So you know, these things are continually occurring that makes it really difficult for the Venezuelan government to look after its people. But having said that, the people themselves, through their participatory democracy, through their grassroots movement, they are achieving amazing things on the ground for themselves. So they, you know, even though the United States would love to crush what's occurring in Venezuela through these harsh sanctions, it's not occurring. And the will of the people is to support the government. Is as strong as ever, and I think that's what these 21st of November elections are going to show. Most definitely, that the PSUV is the most popular party or organisation in Venezuela, and they'll be re-elected again.
So really, this reaction is around creating a sustainable future, as well as self-determination.
Absolutely, and there is no way that the Venezuelan people will give up what they've achieved over the last 20 years just because they might be going a little bit hungry or they might be, you know, face extreme measures that we wouldn't even sort of be able to understand. I went to Venezuela two years ago, and we went out to the rural areas, and they couldn't get things like water pumps. They can't get things to fix machines that are broken down. They can't get fertilizers so that they can increase their crop yield. But having said that, again, that they are finding ways to get around that.
It's quite fascinating. It's quite obsessive on the part of the Americans, isn't it? I mean, it's not just the Venezuelans, of course. They do it to Cuba, and they do it to anybody who wrong steps them, in a sense. I mean, we lost the government here to their fanaticism. What in particular is the problem for the United States with Venezuela? I know that's a big question, but what's your view?
I find that it's the same as Cuba, as you know, and the same as virtually any country that's striving for independence. But I think you'll find with Venezuela that it's the fact that it's right on their back doorstep, and they do consider through the Monroe Doctrine, that they formulated many years ago after World War II, that Venezuela is. That Latin America is their backyard, and that they will be the ones that set the foreign policies and the regimes for these countries. They will take all. They will have access to all of those that mineral wealth in that area, and they will have control of all of that wealth. And I think that's the key to it. Of course, is profit. I don't think the United States government doesn't really care who is in power if they have direct access to that control. And it's always about profits being in command, and that's what the United States is dogmatically sticking to. So any country that steps outside of that dogma, they will be crushed by the United States. And we saw that with Chile in the 1970s. Allende was a popular government that was elected, popular leader that was elected, socialist leader, and a military coup was organized against them by the United States, and they installed a military dictator. And, you know, without the difference with Venezuela, of course, is that the military came on side with Chavez in 1990, and as a result, a coup could not be organized, although they tried it. And they arrested Chavez and put him in jail. But through popular demand, he was released.
Quite fascinating, Helen, the fact that we're watching the copybook approach of the Americans for regime change, as they like. I mean, it's even a term. Failing on a continuous basis in Venezuela, embarrassingly so, which is interesting. That's why they're bringing out the heavy guns. But you said that the Monroe Doctrine goes much earlier than after the Second World War. I mean, it's a 18th century conception. Monroe was, they came up with this idea that they had a right to the resources of all the other countries nearby them very early on in their development, the Americans. So they are quite happy with the Western construction of colonialism.
Stand corrected, absolutely.
And I mean, they're in love with it, and they like to normalise it. But, of course, it's about the bread and butter and the real lives and the real futures of people in Venezuela. And I was fascinated to find out that you and John Montero are going to go over there. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I think to leave probably around about 17th or 18th of November to observe the election process, and so that's going to be great, and we'll be able to come back and explain how this process is being achieved, how they do it. I know that Jimmy Carter went to some elections quite a few years ago, and he went back and reported that the Venezuelan elections are one of the best that he's ever seen in terms of transparency and fairness. So that's going to be fascinating to see. And also in terms of the way they run it, the efficiency of those elections. So that's going to be fascinating to see, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Were you invited?
By the embassy here in Canberra, by the Venezuelan embassy, yeah. So, that was a special privilege, absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you're going to be a scrutineer.
A scrutineer, so to speak, yeah.
Yeah, fascinating, absolutely fascinating. So when will you be back, Helen?
It will be the following week. So I hope to be back by the 25th of November, if not earlier, yeah.
Oh, that's a flash visit.
Absolutely. And a horrendous flight, 50 hours there sort of and 50 hours back. So a bit of jet lag will be going on.
Oh, you're a mighty woman. You're a mighty woman. Okay, well, we'll catch you when you get back, and we'll hope nothing but success for you and Venezuela.
Yeah, and the population of Venezuela is 28 million for anybody that's interested. So it's it's very similar to Australia, but of course it's a much smaller area. than Australia. So 28 million in a small country.
Certainly, yeah, fighting above its weight.
Absolutely, punching well above its weight for an example for the rest of the world. And I think that's the crucial thing for what we do in the Venezuelan Solidarity Campaign is to try and show that there's a way forward out of the undemocratic system that we live in. The you know, from a grassroots level to a high level, there's processes we can go through to live in a better world and to live in a more just society, and that's the message that we'll be bringing home as well.
Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thank you.